You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
Down with the King for years, about 10 of them.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program, produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back after our milestone episode, episode 250, a few weeks ago. We had a royal rant last week where we had a fine citizen of Los Angeles come on and talk, and as fate would have it, Brother Marcus is back in the building this week to talk about the big NBA news. It's almost like he planned it that way, folks. So let me welcome my co-host, my tag team partner, back to the show. Give it up for Marcus. Never lost, Vandenberg.
I'm back, Nate. I'm back after my four-week itis.
That's... We were talking off the air. That's the way we do things. Whenever we have a milestone, one or both of us takes a week off, and that's how we do things. After all those episodes, man, we needed to rest.
The funny thing is, I wasn't even out of town. I was around, but it's busy with work and preparing for babies and stuff. So, or baby, I don't want to scare anyone. Baby,
singular. I was gonna say we.
No.
That's what you've been getting busy doing,
no,
sir.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there as well.
Yeah, shout out to all the fathers. Happy Father's Day. And Marcus, happy Father's Day. This is the first time I can say that to you, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, yeah. So not only is Marcus in a good mood because this is his first official Father's Day, I guess you could say, but Marcus has been, for long-time listeners of the show, Marcus has been predicting one thing for about the last 3 or 4 years. And much like the broken clock that is right two times a day, Marcus, if you keep saying the same thing over and over, eventually, I guess it has to come true. So the floor is yours to celebrate our new NBA world champions.
I'm going to be like Drake out here. Man, it was a tough battle. Guys fought hard. Always believed. And, you know, it's good to bring that championship back to Canada, or Canada for the first time, actually, not back to.
Yeah, it was a good series, man. Like, I think this was the rare win-win because the Raptors, you know, they got their title in six and, you know, we got a fresh new NBA champion, but the Warriors somehow managed to pull a babyface turn in defeat, given the injuries and KD coming back and Klay going out and all that. It was hard to hate the Warriors this year.
It was, and I was trying to think, going back to wrestling, of course, what match stands out as Warriors versus Raptors. I couldn't think of an exact match that's happened.
Ooh, okay, I got one for you, and this match I think took place in Toronto.
Okay.
Hogan Rock,
yeah.
We had Hogan in the NWO, and then by the end of the match, he was red and yellow again.
So that means the Warriors were Hogan.
Yeah, the Warriors are Hogan, and the Raptors are Rock.
Okay. And the Rock won that match, right?
Yeah, the Rock won the match, but Hogan got the babyface cheers at the end of it.
Oh yeah, it happened at the stadium.
Yeah, so like it's funny because the last time I remember something weird like this happening is when KD first got to the Warriors, and all of a sudden LeBron turned into a lovable underdog.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
loyal LeBron. What was he? Yeah.
Oh man, but were you surprised at the outcome? I mean, once we started seeing the injuries, I guess it started to be a foregone conclusion. But even then, like I was on the side of things. We even talked about it last week with Chris. Like I was like, man, until that championship is within Masai Ujiri's grasp, I'm not gonna say that the Warriors are out of it.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors are someone that you could deliver, you know, five finishers, and somehow, some way, they will find a way to kick out of two, and then you're just stunned. Like, what else do I have to do?
Yep.
To keep you down, and in this case, it took literally two season-ending injuries to their best players, two of their best players, and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, to really finish this thing. And if KD doesn't get hurt if Klay Thompson doesn't get hurt,
yeah,
in game six, I think that series is a little different. I think we have a game seven tonight.
Yeah.
And at that point, even
anything can happen.
Anything can happen. Or even, let's just say, even if Klay got hurt later in the fourth, to the point where the Raptors were too far behind to catch the Warriors, and the Warriors are now going into Game 7 without KD, without Klay Thompson, I would still be worried that Stephen Curry and Draymond Green could do enough on the road in Game 7 to win the title. So I am glad that Toronto capitalized when they did, when Klay went out, and they did not leave that up to be debated for Sunday, because, you know, it would have been a tough game tonight to watch possibly one of the biggest chokes in NBA Finals history. It would have been better than the 3-1 Warriors lead that they blew, knowing depleted.
Especially when you bring in the fact that the Raptors should have won game two.
Yes.
Like they squandered game two, and then there was a chance I thought they were going to squander the lead, going into game six. And I felt if that happened, yeah, the Warriors would find a way to win it again. But, you know, you got to give credit to Kawhi Leonard and Fred VanVleet and them boys, Kyle Lowry, Gasol. Like they had a very well-rounded team, and that was one of the things we talked about before the finals got started, Marcus. Yeah, you could make the argument that the Warriors had four of the five best players on the court, but Toronto had the depth.
Yeah, Toronto had the depth. And they had, I mean, they're one superstar team. And this is the first time in a minute that a one superstar team has won the NBA championship, right? Would it be... Because not even LeBron year, because LeBron had some good pieces around him. I mean, Kyrie and Kevin Love was there, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been probably pre-Big 3 in Miami, right?
Yeah, it would have had to been pre-Big 3 in Miami and probably... Pre-Big 3
Boston.
Pre-Big 3 in Boston.
Pre-Big 3 Lakers with Gasol.
Are we talking maybe the Detroit Pistons title win?
That was 04. Yeah, I guess it depends on how much you count Gasol as a second piece. But yeah, it might go back that far.
Yeah, because they had, you know, you got Kawhi who was a top 10 superstar, and then you had a bunch of good guys to average guys. You know, Gasol, Lowry, Siakam is a guy on the rise. VanVleet's a guy on the rise. It was a well-rounded team.
And a lot of those guys you mentioned had their bumps in the roads in the playoffs. I mean, Kyle Lowry started off the playoffs rough. I mean, even game five, that shot, he got a lot of jokes off about Lowry's shot, even though it was blocked, we found out later on. VanVleet earlier in the playoffs could not buy a basket until he had the baby. He came back as a father, and he could not miss. Mark Gasol at times wasn't playable.
What that means is Yahoo needs to watch out for your articles once the little man is born, because your writing prowess will go to another level.
I'll just be more tired. Just have more mistakes in it.
All these typos. What's happened to Marcus?
No sleep. So, yeah, there are moments when, you know, Siakam got hurt. at one point during the playoff run. So the Kawhi at one point looked pretty banged up. So they went through their
even with the coach, downs. You know, with the timeout with Nick Nurse, like he was being blasted for that move, but then it turned out it doesn't matter because now they got the chip.
Now they have the chip, and that will segue into Saturday's move.
Real quick, let's kind of wrap things up with the finals, because this was it's a feel good moment, you know, because we both have friends north of the borders.
Yes.
So it's a feel good moment for the fans of the Raptors. But it also is kind of like the second chapter of a trilogy, because now it's like, okay, we have a new champion. The Warriors, KD's out for a year. Klay, we don't know when Klay's going to get back. The Lakers are making moves. We've got some other things going on in free agency. Will Kawhi come back to Toronto? So now it's like, I'm not going to go as far as to say everybody's got a shot, but the field is certainly more wide open than it was going into the playoffs.
We saw that before the trade yesterday, where the odds came out, and somehow the Lakers were the favorites to win the title next year. And I think the Clippers were like third favorite to win the title.
Yeah.
And a lot of that obviously was based on assuming that Anthony Davis would become a Laker, and you're also assuming that the Clippers will get a Kawhi Leonard or someone of that level to go into that team. So, yeah, the Warriors, this is it. I mean, the Warriors are probably like, remember John Cena sort of like pseudo-retired? But, like, he showed up, like, 6 months later to, like, do a couple matches and then sort of disappear. Like, they'll have their moments. They'll pop in and out. But at least for next year, they are not going to be in contention.
Do you think Boogie resigns?
I don't think so. I think he can get more money than what the Warriors are going to offer him.
Yeah.
So I don't think he resigns.
So you're talking Boogie's gone, KD's out?
I think KD is gone unless KD just wants to stick it to them and say, look, I'll opt in. I do my rehab and then I'll be gone next year.
Do they know how long Klay's out for yet?
Klay's probably not going to be back until the playoffs.
Yeah. So you're talking Steph, Draymond Green.
And some dudes.
Yeah. Looney.
Yeah, Looney. I mean, Looney's okay. McKinney, they have a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
John Livingston, Jarepko.
Yeah, you're right, Marcus. This could be it for the Warriors in terms of being this juggernaut.
Yeah, I mean that.
They had a good run though. Like, what, 5-6 years?
5 year run. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, if you are Steve Kerr and Warriors management, and even the players, like, if anybody would have told you, hey, we're going to be in the finals 5 straight years and, you know, we're going to win the majority of those, you know, we're going to lose twice, but we're going to win the rest of them, you'll take that deal.
And the two they lost, I mean, they should have won in theory. Like, if obviously the 3-1 thing, they lost. And then if KD didn't get hurt, they would have won that series probably.
So, I mean, you gotta tip your cap to the Warriors. And they, like I said, they become baby faces in defeat, which is probably the best thing for him. So but then see, Marcus Vandenberg.
By the way, I saw some people turning on Steph a little bit about.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Down. I was like, come on. I mean, that's
not often I come out in staunch defense of
light-skinned people.
Light-skinned brothers, but I didn't get the Steph hate.
I didn't either. But speaking of light-skinned people.
Yes.
Anthony Davis will be a Laker starting next month.
Yes, officially. Yes. You gotta give it to I know this isn't all LeBron Marcus Vandenberg, but I'm just gonna credit LeBron because I like the narrative. But just the idea that we've got a new world champion, and you and I talked about this online over the weekend. We got a new world champion, but all anybody's talking about for this week and probably next week is the move that the Lakers made.
Yeah, I mean, the move had to get done before the draft, which is on Thursday, because one of the key components of the the trade was this number four pick that the Pelicans will get. And the Lakers will still make the pick on Thursday, but they're picking for the Pelicans if the Pelicans decide to keep it. So, yeah.
What'd you make of the deal? Because I thought it was, even though the Lakers gave up a lot, I thought it was a pretty even trade on both sides.
I know people have said, oh, you're sort of destroying the future, but I think you have to look at it. The goal for the Lakers is to win now. And I think they would trade a 2020 title for maybe not making the playoffs again in 2024. And I think that's sort of the mindset you have when you're a franchise like the Lakers. Now, if you're, say, I would say the Clippers, I would say maybe a little risky to sort of mortgage your future when you don't have a history of winning. There's no expectations on that level to win championships. And for the Lakers, it's been now 6 years that you have not finished 500. You have not made the playoffs. That is, you know, that if you compare the Lakers to their equivalent in other professional sports, that is, you know, the Yankees have not had a stretch of 6 years of not finishing 500 and not making the playoffs, you know. You know, in football, the Cowboys have not had a 6 year drought like this.
I mean, yeah.
They have not won titles, but they have always, you know, sort of been relevant in at least 500. So the Lakers had to make this bet. Your shelf life on LeBron is limited. You have 3 years left, really, to do this. Mm-hmm. You have Anthony Davis in his prime. You kept Kyle Kuzma, who will be a good third option for them. And
they still got cap room.
They have a little cap room left. Not enough for another Mets player at the moment. But if someone wants to maybe take less to come play with AD and LeBron, that's an option. Or maybe, as we just talked about, having this one superstar in Toronto. If you have two superstars in LA, maybe you just fill out the roster with actual players instead of, you know, guys off the street.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, Marcus. Because what would you do? Because after this big move, the talk quickly turned to what's the next move. Mm-hmm. And you heard names tossed around like a Kemba Walker. I don't know if that would be the right play. But if you were Rob Pelinka, the much maligned Rob Pelinka,
yes.
what would be your next move in terms of rounding this team out?
Definitely a point guard. They lost Lonzo. You know, even if you say keep Rondo for another year, he shouldn't be starting at this point.
No.
So I think they need to definitely go and look at what can they add at the point guard position. And you mentioned Kemba Walker. I don't know if Kemba's going to want to take that much of a discount to come to LA instead of playing in Charlotte. He might. I mean, he can get the max in Charlotte. So that's going
to
be.
But I mean, then I guess for him, it would come down to: do you want the max in Charlotte, where you don't have a chance to win, or take a cut to go with LeBron and AD, where you've got a shot?
Yeah. The interesting piece is going to be D'Angelo Russell, who I don't see him coming back to LA based on how things ended here, but. That was not Rob Pelinka's fault.
Yeah.
But assuming
that whole team was dysfunctional with the whole him and Swaggy P and all that stuff.
Yeah. Assuming that the Nets upgrade and get Kyrie, they've already mentioned that it's been reported that D'Angelo would sort of be let go. He's a restricted free agent, so he would hit the market. So that could be an option. And after that, it gets a little tricky because there's not really.
What about somebody like the level of a Ricky Rubio? Do you think he could be a fit?
If Rubio can stay healthy, I mean, he's been. I think injuries have sort of been his Achilles heel. I think he's a solid piece. I think he wouldn't be like a bad like number two option in terms of if they couldn't land a Kemba or a D'Angelo. Terry Rozier is a restricted free agent. I don't know where he's going to end up, if he's going to stay in Boston or not. So, yeah, I think definitely point guard will be
Yeah, and then the trade itself makes a, like, we got a game of musical chairs now, because I don't know if is Lonzo going to stay put in New Orleans, or
I think so.
Is Drew Holiday on the way out? Like, what's, you know, that's going to open up a spot for somebody.
They've already sort of shifted Drew to the two dart last year.
You think those two can coexist?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, Lonzo's not a guy who's gonna want to shoot first. So I think Drew will get his shots.
Think they want him to shoot first.
No, it's just all he's so laid back towards. So that'd be cool, I guess, if you like the Bruins. But yeah, I think he'll be fine in New Orleans.
Yeah, let's talk about the Pelicans for a minute, Marcus, because I really like this move from the standpoint of David Griffin and what he's trying to do. Because if you've got, you know, it would have been cool to have this kind of new Twin Towers deal with Zion and AD, but if AD doesn't want to be there, you don't want to force a guy to be somewhere he doesn't want to play. And so they got a pretty nice haul in return from the Lakers. They get the number four pick, and then they're getting these young players to kind of grow with Zion. I think that's because they're not going to be expected to challenge for a championship anytime soon. They just want to be exciting.
Yeah. Ingram's a question mark because he had some serious health issues at the end of last year. And then he's also a free agent after this year as well. So this will be an important year for him. But then you have this number four pick, which you can go one of two ways. You can sort of obviously take the pick and use it this year. You can try to trade. Our Atlanta Hawks, Nate, I'm buying in on the Hawks.
now you're coming over.
Listen, you go to State Farm Arena twice and you're hooked. That's the rules.
Now you just got to get a haircut next time.
I know. Next time. The Hawks have three first-round picks and three mm-hmm. second-round picks. They're not drafting six rookies. So no. The Hawks can, if they want to, move up to four, which I don't think is probably a wise move because I don't think
I was going to say, what's the – because, you know, we pretty much got the top three guys locked in. What's the drop-off between, let's say, an R.J. Barrett at three and then whoever would be number four?
Yeah, there's a drop-off. I mean, it's not worth trading for. I would not move up to – especially if I would consider Darius Garland to be the Nets' best player in the draft, and you have Trae Young,
yeah.
So you're not drafting a point guard. I mean, at that point, you're sort of like, all right, well, I think DeAndre Hunter will be a fine 3-and-D guy. I think Cam Reddish could be decent, but the Hawks can probably get Cam Reddish where they're at now. So. It doesn't make sense for the Hawks to move up, but if speaking of the Hawks, if they wanted to really just go all out and maybe move up to the top three, they could do that as well. They have the assets to do it. So the Pelicans will probably, I would think, keep the pick and add another piece to Zion. Maybe
let's keep this going, Marcus, because like I said, it's almost like this year, maybe more so than ever, one move can affect another move. Mm-hmm. And one player moving can change and shift things around, whether you're talking about the draft, the free agency, or whatever. What about somebody like a Bradley Beal? What role do you think he'll play in all of this?
I'm sure if someone wanted to take Bradley Beal's contract, the Wizards would happily trade him. The Hawks have the money. The Pelicans, I would think, have the money to do it.
Yeah.
If I'm the Pelicans, I wouldn't trade for them. If I'm Atlanta, I would probably do it. I think they definitely – I don't see Atlanta being a huge player in free agency. Therefore, if you're trying to move these picks, I would probably use that as trade leverage. To get a bona fide veteran guard in Beal to pair with Trae Young.
Wizards are kind of in rebuilding mode anyway.
Yeah. So, if I'm the Pelicans, I would not panic about trying to trade for what I think is a pretty bad contract.
They've got their star. They've got Zion. Yeah. That's the guy that's going to get people in the arenas. That's the guy, as Tony Schiavone would say, that's going to put butts in the seat. Mm-hmm. They don't have to contend for a championship this year because they've got a buzz, and that'll carry them through this season.
Yeah, it will.
So let's roll back to your Lakers, Marcus Vandenberg, even though you tried to jump on my Hawks bandwagon, but, you know, I let it slide. Let's get back to your Lakers, because this, to me, is, like you said, they're in a win-now situation, because at best, you got, you know, 3 years of peak LeBron, and I don't even know if we'll get peak LeBron for these next 3 years,
yeah,
given
two.
Kind of his history with his health these last couple seasons. So if you are in that position of, we've got Frank Vogel here, we've got this staff with you got Jason Kidd, and you've also got
Lionel Hollins, right?
Lionel Hollins on the bench. So you've got experience from the coaching standpoint. You got LeBron now. You got AD. Would it be a situation, you think, where if they can't get another big guy, another big piece, you know, to have their own little big three, they just fill out with, you know, some shooters, because they're going to need some shooting on this team, and some defense, maybe some 3-and-D guys like you're talking about. What's the play here? Because we've seen that LeBron is very passive aggressive when he wants to be Marcus Vandenberg, and if things aren't going in the right direction, we could see that kind of raise his ugly head again.
Mm-hmm. ESPN has a story sort of breaking down possible options for the Lakers. And the first one, who I forgot to mention during, we were talking about point guards, Patrick Beverley.
Oh.
Would be, I think, the perfect Laker.
Interesting.
He's a free agent.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Gives you a little bit of deep toughness as well.
They mentioned Alex Caruso, who was a Laker last year, who actually, in the garbage months of April, March and April, played pretty well. He averaged 17 points, 8 assists in 5 games in April.
Mm.
So, he, you know, definitely a backup. He's not starting for the Lakers, but a backup. Darren Collison, George Hill, 2 other veteran point guards. And then you mentioned shooters. They've got Avery Bradley, who I don't love as a shooter.
I forgot Avery Bradley was in the league, to be quite honest with you.
2 Lakers from last year, Reggie Bullock and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Both I can do without.
KCP still getting checks.
Yes. Danny Green, who is someone I would target if I'm the
champion Danny Green?
Yes, I would target if I were the Lakers.
Multiple time champion Danny Green.
Yes, and then front court guys, they have Trevor Ariza, old friend, and Nerlens Noel, who is another clutch guy.
And, interesting.
Definitely not a shooter, but we have not talked about sort of what they're doing at center with this team.
Honestly, with AD and LeBron, you don't need somebody that's going to be a shooter at center. You just need somebody that can protect the rim.
That is true, but the one guy I didn't see here, which I think would be interesting based on his season this year, would be Brook Lopez if he came back to the Lakers. It would give you another bid to stretch the floor. If you're counting on AD to do the dirty work inside, Brook can sort of do his Brook Lopez thing and not rebound and shoot a bunch of threes. So I would definitely say they need to learn from their mistake last year, which was to not fill LeBron with shooters, and in fact fill them with people who can't shoot from 15 feet. so that means, you know, no Lance Stephenson, no Rajon Rondos. Get those guys out of here and actually bring in some people who can shoot.
What about your man J.R. Smith?
No, thank you.
I can't entice you with a little Smitty.
You cannot. I would rather take Dwayne Wade over J.R. Smith coming back. I mean,
that says something. So I guess last thing with your Lakers, Marcus. Okay, let's kind of handicap the West. Because it's to me it's wide open because the Warriors are now depleted, and so I guess logically you could say Houston maybe moves up to who you'd predict would be in that top spot. But then after that, to me, it's wide open, just based on what we saw this season. Like, do you have faith that the Nuggets will be able to do what they did this year again next season?
I do. I mean, that their team's going to be back, and they, in theory, should add Michael Porter, who missed all of this year, recovering from injury. I think they will be another, you know, 50-win team.
And what about the Clippers? Do you think they'll get Kawhi? And B, if they don't, will they have enough to contend in the West?
Here's my pitch to Kawhi to stay in Toronto. Besides it being maybe my favorite city. I think Kawhi is about to, if he hasn't already realized already, that having the support of a country will always trump having the support of a state or a city. And, you know, he doesn't seem like a guy who is into sort of the, I guess, celebrity perks that comes with being an athlete.
No.
But I think, and he'll probably realize this at the parade tomorrow, but I think he'll understand that he's going to be, if he stays, I think even if he leaves, he's already cemented himself as probably definitely he's a Raptor legend. But I think if he stays, I think he's going to be a Canadian hero to that country. And even if it's just a, you know, a 2-year deal, and if he wants to sort of get a change of scenery before he's, I think he'll still be under 30 at that point, then he'll go that route. But I think he's going to stay on a short-term deal and sort of give it another shot because this team's coming back. This team is pretty much decided besides Kawhi. So I think he's smart enough to realize that the Warriors are not the Warriors of old. The East, I think the Celtics are a bit of a mess. The Bucks are going to be interesting because I think they are definitely built for another run. But I think the Sixers are not going to be what they were this year. The East run should not be that hard.
Jimmy Butler go back to Philly? That's a question.
I don't see that. I don't see him going back to Philly. I mean, he would be, I think, the ideal Laker if they had enough money to do it, to sort of be that third piece if they went through that route. Because I think he would definitely fit in with those two. But I don't know. I don't know money wise if that could work. But I think Kawhi knows that he has something good in Toronto, and if he wanted to make another run at it, he should probably stay for this another year.
Yeah, I was gonna say if I'm Kawhi, I like the way you're thinking. Maybe a 2-year, maybe even just a 1-year deal, just to run it back.
Just run it back
and see if we can get it one more time. And if not, hey, you know, no harm, no foul. The people of Toronto wouldn't hold it against him to leave because he's already delivered more than they've ever had from that team.
Yeah, that guy is golden for life.
Yeah, he can eat anywhere he wants, free poutine and all Tim Hortons.
All the Harveys and Tim Hortons you want. Swiss Chalet, Jack Astor's. Take it all in, man. It's all yours.
So he's good. He's good there. But I would like to see him go back for one more season to try to run it back. It's going to be interesting this year, Marcus, or this upcoming season. You know, we got the draft coming up, and then after that, maybe things will start to take form and take shape. And we'll see if LeVar Ball's prophetic words will come to fruition, Marcus, as he has said the Lakers will never win a championship for the rest of his life.
I'm so glad he's gone, Nate.
Marcus, why would you want to do this to the people of New Orleans? Now you got this man on Bourbon Street. It's not a good combination.
It's not, but not my problem anymore.
Hey, happy Father's Day, LeVar Ball.
Yes.
Where the boys? Real quick before we take a quick break. Where are LaMelo and...
LaMelo's playing in the Drew League out here. That's why he was caught on camera yesterday. He was at the Drew League watching LaMelo.
And then LiAngelo's the other one?
Yeah, LiAngelo's just around. I don't know what he's doing, but
So LaMelo's the young one, and he's the kid from Monday Night Raw, right?
Yes, that's him.
That custard. Get yeah. that nigga, daddy. Like, sir.
Yeah, that's him.
This is a PG show, so LaMelo's in the Drew League, and then LiAngelo's just kind of...
just floating, figuring out life.
Figuring out life. How did I end up here?
Yeah.
Hey, I hope the best for him.
For who?
For LiAngelo. For all the ball kids, man. I didn't have a problem with Lonzo. He didn't see you. You were in that atmosphere more than I, Marcus. But just from the outside looking in, he seemed like he had a good head on his shoulders. Father aside.
He wasn't a problem. No.
So I hope those guys can kind of get their lives and careers together in spite of the big baller.
It'll be a good reset for Lonzo, I think.
He'll be in some voodoo shop with a voodoo doll of his daddy. You mm. just keep his mouth shut. Put a zipper over his mouth. Just
yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. The NBA is fantastic, Marcus Vandenberg. Congratulations again to our new world champions of the world, the Toronto Raptors. And we'll be back on the other side, Marcus. Speaking of things going on all around the world, we haven't had a chance to touch base with you and get your thoughts from your excursion to Las Vegas to check out AEW and to check out StarCast and all that good stuff. So on the other side of the break, Marcus and I will come back. We'll talk about his trip to Vegas. Maybe we'll have some Father's Day weekend ratchetness to talk about. But don't go anywhere. Stick and stay. If you're watching on the video feed, we're not going anywhere. If you listen to the classic audio, we'll be right back after the break. So stick and stay. We got more Kings of Sport right after this. And I know you're crying, 'cause it's on in this rain, and the things you want, you can't hang, they're just all going away, but life ain't over. Ooh, just grab the wind and make the mint, and the vibe will take you
most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/the Kings of Sport.
Can you dig it?
Back on the Kings of Sport, the Father's Day edition rolls on. So, for those of you that have been with us in the break, we want to give a shout out to Bray Wyatt and JoJo and that child who is going to have an amazing, crazy life with his grandparents, Jose Offerman and Erwin R. Scheister. this is segment 4, Nate and Marcus. We are back, and we figured because we haven't had time to really kind of sit down and go through Marcus's recent travels to Las Vegas, that we take this time to talk about that and hear his thoughts on StarCast and Double or Nothing from AEW, and just, you know, kind of spending time out there with the guys from the Corner Podcast. So, Brother Marcus, once again, the floor is yours. You can start from the beginning and take us on this trip.
Yeah, I heard Jamie on last week, and I got to Vegas on Thursday, and the first thing that was that night was the podcast that Jamie mentioned, the first of two Corner Podcasts that weekend. And this one was in downtown Vegas at this place called the Nerd Bar. And I was there from the beginning, and it was Andreas and Kale were the last show of the evening, but the shows before that were local Vegas podcasters. And the podcast before Nate, before Andreas and Kel was quite the conversation.
That's what Chris was alluding to.
I'm trying to think what's the best way to describe this without getting an NC-17 rating on the podcast. But at one point, the discussion, this was three guys sort of on this show. It was like I don't call it a relationship podcast, but it was three dudes. And at some point, the topic of, how should I say this? Taking part in adult acts while on the certain time of the month that maybe you should avoid. So that was a conversation.
So all of the shows weren't wrestling related?
No, this was not wrestling related.
Wow.
That was a
it's a hell of an opening act.
That was a hell of an opening act, and it was a bit of a struggle to get through, to be honest. But
you thought Dustin and Cody was a bloodbath.
Oh man. The hard way. Yeah. I felt bad for Jamie to say he walked in sort of mid podcast. And I was like, I'm wondering what this man is thinking right now, because this is not sports talk.
But he was cool. Thought it was all kind of related to the weekend.
Yes. But he was fine. So Andreas and Kel did their thing on Thursday night. They did just a more of a traditional show. There was no guest. And Friday,
the Thursday show was just kind of like a live version of
the Corner Podcast. Okay. Yeah. Friday, we that morning went to brunch and got to hang out with Marty Bell,
who very cool
was on the panel on Saturday, and she decided to just sort of tag along with us for the day, and she was super cool, super nice, just very like down to earth. You wouldn't even know that she was a wrestler in the sense of like just her personality. And it was super, super great hanging out with her. After we went to brunch, we went over to StarCast for the first time, which this is my first year doing StarCast. I wasn't in Chicago last year. And I thought the main hotel at Caesars was great, big enough room. As Chris mentioned, the main ballroom was plenty big. It was probably too big for the space. And went there. We caught the end of Arn Anderson's session that he had with, I think it was Shivani. Yeah, it was Shivani.
Yeah.
And that's where they announced that, and I don't know if this has come out yet, but Conrad is doing another podcast with Arn Anderson starting in the fall. So he'll have five shows. And
he's gonna have Tony, Bruce, JR, Arn. Who's the fifth?
Bischoff.
Oh, I keep forgetting about Bischoff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a little much. It's probably oversaturation, but you know.
Hey, if people are willing to pay him for it.
That's true. People are still listening. Get that paper. See, so,
what other panels did you check out?
So after that, we went to the weigh-in, which wasn't really a weigh-in. It was more of a, more like a barker show for the actual Double or Nothing pay-per-view the next night, about an hour long. You know, if you didn't watch it, you didn't really miss a whole lot. And then at that point, we also went to check out the retail space they had.
Mm-hmm.
So we went there a couple times, and the time we went on Friday night, there were no wrestlers around, but a bunch of vendors, and ended up buying a whole bunch of lapel pins.
Okay.
And I will show you some, because I have them here. Including one that you would appreciate, Nate.
Are you a lapel pin collector by nature, or did these just catch your eye?
So I collect, collect is a strong word. I have Disney pins that I put in my backpack. So yes,
if you are watching on the video feed.
The audio, yeah.
Marcus is holding up a Nation of Domination lapel pin.
Yes. And actually, this was made from a black couple from, I want to say South Carolina they came from. They're up there selling pins. So, like, I have I bought a bunch of stuff. This is a Naito pen. It's a Rick Rude pen. It's just a, Omega. And then also the people who made the Nation pen, they also made this one, which is sort of modeled after the Obama poster.
That's a good one.
Yeah, with Kofi, and it says Hope. So I thought this was really... really dope. I had to buy this one.
Yeah.
I should shout them out. They are www.123pins.us and their social.
123pins.us?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and their social is at 123pins. PINS.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, we'll definitely tag them when the show comes out. So 123pins.
Mm hmm.
So yeah, we'll definitely tag them in the show because Marcus had. Right there.
Yeah, so bought that. Saturday, we went back to the same room, and then all the wrestlers were out, which was a trip because just imagine a convention room of just wrestlers sitting at tables. Some with lines to sign autographs, some like Shane Douglas reading a book. With no line to sign an autograph. So it was quite the scene of watching or just sort of observing people sort of in their element in the room. I'm not an autograph collector at all. So I had no interest in paying $40, $50 to get autographs or selfies with retired wrestlers. That's not my thing. But get on you if that's your thing. I just bought pins.
I'm with you. The only exception, and we talked about it last week, the only exception would have been Sting.
And Sting was there. Not in the room. I didn't see Sting in the room, but Sting was at StarCast. I missed his panel. But
yeah, KME said he went to the Sting panel.
Okay. I could see you doing that for Sting.
Yeah, that's about the only guy I would have did that for.
Trying to think who's else in the room. I mean, it was a who's who of, like, 90s people from Ron Simmons, Shane Douglas, Brutus Beefcake, Medusa, Rikishi.
Hey, if nothing else, these things are good so that these guys and girls can get another payday.
Yeah, I'm sure they made some money off this, which is great for them. But yeah, not my thing. And then Saturday.
You said this was Saturday.
This was Saturday. Saturday morning.
When was the wrestling with race? Wrestling with stereotypes?
That was Saturday afternoon. So that was a panel at the Tustany. And KME mentioned this as well. But that was there was no walking to the Tustany. You had an Uber or drive there. And I really think that hurt the attendance. Not just this panel, but for all of the events. Oh, by the way, let me back up to Friday night. Because Friday night I went to Tuscany to do the Ron Funches Watch Wrestling and Get High event.
Okay.
And got to meet Sean Waltman at the end of that. Who have I told you the Sean Waltman story about his girlfriend?
No.
So Sean Waltman has a black girlfriend. Not only that, she in her own right is probably just as successful as Sean Waltman.
Really?
Her name is Angela Nissel. I think I'm pronouncing her last name right. She is a an author, a writer. She also, for all you hip hop heads, was one of the OK Player. I don't know if she's a founder in OK Player, but she was definitely had some type of involvement with OK Player back in the day, which was a hip hop website, message board.
Yeah.
Well before Twitter and all that stuff. So yeah, co-founder of with OK Player with Questlove.
Yep.
So yeah,
say, like a lot of that's great. And I think KME and I talked about it last week, man. Just seeing the evolution of particularly these NWO guys in 2019, however, they're all very opposite of what you would think their characters were in the 90s. Like Kevin Nash is on Twitter being socially relevant and conscious. And you got X-Pac out here who's woke. And I don't know what the hell's going on.
And then you have Hulk Hogan.
Then we have Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Like, what's next? Lex Luger at a Black Lives Matter rally?
No, oh, man. So, yeah, I got to meet Sean Waltman briefly. And the dog wasn't there, unfortunately. I wanted to meet the dog more than Sean. No offense, Sean. But so that was Friday night with Funches.
He's out there in L.A., doesn't he? So you could probably run into him.
Yeah, probably. He does. At that event, Scott Hall was there. Scott Hall looking.
Oh, Scott Hall was there too?
Yeah, Scott's looking rough. He's looking his age.
He's lived a hard life.
He's looking beyond his age. He has lived a hard life. So Saturday, the event, I thought it was an important conversation that those guys had. I'm glad they were able to get that on the StarCast panel. And I don't know if it's beneficial yet, but if you're going to Chicago, I would say look out for Andres and Kel again.
Okay.
And you saw the event, right? You watched it.
Yeah, I watched it on YouTube.
I thought Willie Mack was the star of the show. And I don't even think Willie Mack was trying to be the star. He was just being Willie Mack. And once he dropped that first N-bomb, I was like, all right.
We're doing this
conversation. But I thought he was fantastic. Obviously listening to Marty speak, who I sort of got to talk to before, Kenny King, was there, Chris Bay, who had wrestled the night before. He's a local Vegas independent wrestler who Friday night, there was a show downtown and he took a Canadian destroyer from, the New Heart Foundation. So he was pretty banged up. So, great panel. If you have not watched this panel yet, you can watch. It's free. Just search for it on the internet. It's about, 80, 90 minutes, but an important discussion about race and stereotypes within wrestling. And Kaz, who was there, was a former WWE writer, would get you a better sense of some of the struggles writers face in trying to incorporate diversity into a show that is operated by a person of one, in Vince McMahon. So it was a very interesting conversation. And
particularly for our audience, if you haven't seen it, set aside some time and check it out. Cause I think particularly people that like this show would probably enjoy, listening to that panel.
Yeah. And from there we went to Double or Nothing at the MGM, which, Did you watch the show?
Yeah, I did. I watched the show, and like I was telling Chris last week, I thought for the most part everything came off well. There were a couple spots here and there that didn't really hit. The Battle Royal was off, and then the bit with the Super Smash Brothers if you don't know who those guys are, it didn't really hit. Yeah. But for the most part, I thought everything else worked.
Yeah, I'm glad the Battle Royal happened when it did, which was on the pre-show. And the just the real bad spot would be the first few minutes of the show with the countdown and then no one coming out. And the fans in the arena were just as confused as the people watching at home. But besides that, in terms of a technical presentation, I know people were upset with Marvez on the call. I have not gone back to actually listen to the broadcast.
Yeah, I think there's a role for Marvez, but the booth with him, JR, and Excalibur didn't really flow.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're better off making Marvez their Jake Glazer and sort of shifting him out of that spotlight and maybe having him, even if he does like stuff in the back during shows, I think that's fine, or pre-show or post-show. But I think let JR and Excalibur sort of do their thing.
I was pleasantly surprised by JR and Excalibur, particularly JR, because, you know, we've seen JR, and it's not no disrespect to the man and what he's done over the years with the NWA and WCW and WWE, but we've seen JR be kind of checked out on commentary. But I think with these guys in the ring and then working with Excalibur, it was a much more connected JR, and I thought the two of them did really well. So I'd like to see them continue. And then, like you said, we can find something else for Marvez to do.
Yeah. So I thought the show was pretty damn good. I will admit that I was pretty, and still am, pretty down on wrestling at the moment. But I thought the show was definitely a high spot. And then after the show,
How'd the Moxley surprise play live?
Pretty good. People weren't tipped off ahead of time, so it was a legit surprise. And very much like the NWO entrance or Shield entrance of coming through the crowd. And, you know, I think that really worked. So after the show, went to the back to do the media scrums, which was...
That was really cool. I thought that was cool. Something different.
It's different than WWE. So they, for NXT, they will do scrums with Triple H, but never the talent. So this was a fresh approach for professional wrestling, which I thought worked pretty well. We did end up missing, I believe, Jericho came in at one point, but because of the way the room was set up, there's two sides, and we were over with Tony Khan and didn't realize that Jericho was also behind us doing interviews. But besides that, it was pretty smooth. And that's where the now infamous Cody Rhodes quote came out of.
Yep.
Mark Henry, who, by the way, was part of the media for this event, which...
Really?
Yeah, he was working for Busted Open Radio. So that made, instead of two black people in the room, it made three black people in the room.
So you, Andreas, and Mark Henry?
And Mark Henry.
What a murderer's row.
But I felt good about having Mark in our corner just in case something went down. Mark Henry asked the question that Andreas captured and shared about Cody Rhodes talking about Brandy and diversity.
I thought Andreas had asked the question, but it was actually Mark.
It was Mark. Mark asked it. And I don't know if Mark filmed it or not, but yeah, Andreas posted it. So yeah, Mark Henry was the one that asked the question, and then Andreas was the one who shared it on Twitter. And then obviously AOC picked it up, and it blew up.
Yeah, so, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll see AOC at All Out.
You joke, but, well, I don't know. I feel like if you invite AOC to All Out, you're also going to piss off part of your fan base, right?
Yeah, the part of the fan base that's already kind of on the fence about Sunny Kiss.
Yeah,
Nyla Rose. Like, we're not sure if we feel comfortable with these performers.
Yeah, I think that might be too radical.
Yeah.
Not even radical. I think it would be too political to invite her. But if she wanted to show up, I think definitely it should open the door for her.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. So what did you think of the whole weekend? And after that, did you feel like it was a good first kind of step, first outing for All Elite Wrestling?
I thought the weekend as a whole was a hit. I didn't hear many complaints. I heard no complaints about the actual show.
Yeah.
Very little about StarCast. I do know that having it in Vegas during a holiday weekend is tough. And if they do go back to Vegas, which Tony Khan has said they will, maybe a different weekend will be a little better in terms of getting fans out. But I will give them credit for at least going out of the way to find hotels that gave decent rates for people coming in to make that process easier. But I thought it was a, you know, for giving them a grade for the first event, it was definitely an A+.
Okay.
For coming out the gate strong. And the one thing I probably would have done was made the price for the pay-per-view less.
Yeah.
I think,
and that's something Cody talked about after the show.
Yeah, I think $50 off the top is a bit of an investment for your casual wrestling fan. And if your goal is to sort of tap into this fan base that has sort of been absent into wrestling, you need to lower that price and get them in that way. So that would be my only complaint.
They are giving the next show away for free.
Yes.
The Fighter Fest on Fighter Fest. The Bleacher Report service.
Which I believe is next weekend, maybe, or 2 weeks?
I think so. I think it's either next week or the week after that. But, the next big show will be All Out in Chicago. And I think that one, I could see him maybe knocking $10 off the price, making it a $40 show.
Mm-hmm. Fighter Fest is June 29th.
Okay.
Which is 2 weeks from Saturday, so...
Yeah, they definitely came out of the event with a buzz. I think, especially for fans that are kind of bored with the current WWE offering, it gives them some hope. The trick is, will they be able to sustain this momentum up until the TV show, which debuts in October or
October.
In the fall?
I think considering that All Out's not until late August, basically that August 31st.
Yeah.
So you're looking at 1 month of sort of, I would say, downtime before.
And they could probably have another one of those smaller shows in the interim.
Yeah, I think they can find a way to ramp up interest before their TV debut in October. So October for wrestling fans is going to be a very interesting month. And I think it's going to be probably the biggest month in wrestling since March of 2001, which is when WCW folded, in the sense of you have SmackDown moving to Fox, and then you have the launch of AEW on TNT. And I am curious to see what those numbers look like that first episode for TNT. I think they can sort of compete with some of the SmackDown numbers that are currently happening now.
The interesting thing will be if the reports are true and TNT is looking to put the show on Wednesday instead of Tuesday, will the WWE make a counter move and try to counter program and maybe see if they could run NXT on one of the, you know, FS1 channels or something like that?
Yeah, I think the NXT card is the trump card for WWE in terms of what they wanted to.
Because I think if it's still on the network, then it's not a problem.
Because
people
yeah.
just watch it whenever. But if they actually put it on one of the Fox affiliates or one of the Fox Sports channels, then it becomes a choice that people actively have to make.
It becomes a choice, but then it depends on are they keeping NXT on the network in addition to TV.
Mm, yeah.
Because, which would defeat the purpose of hotshotting your NXT brand on TV if you can go back and watch it on the network that evening. So they would have to essentially remove live showings of NXT from the network.
Yeah, because isn't it currently right now with Raw, you have to wait like a week or two?
I think
for the Raws to show up on the
network?
Yeah,
it might be more than that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they might do something like that with NXT and make you have to actively choose.
Yeah, which I think they have to go that route. Otherwise, what's the point of it?
Yeah, and honestly, that's the only competition for AEW. It's not Raw, it's not SmackDown, it's NXT, because mm-hmm. then you're pulling from the same fan base.
Yeah. So, I think they're off to a good start. And it also helps that the WWE product right now is, what's the word? garbage.
Outside of your boy Kofi, that's the only reason I watch on Tuesdays.
I mean, even Kofi's sort of like.
Just let me see what Kofi's up to. Okay, that's it. Cool. Yeah. Let me flip over him. Let me watch Nathan Fillion and The Rookie instead.
Yeah.
One of these other shows, one of the CSI shows. But, yeah, I'm actually intrigued by AEW. Like, it's the All Out was a little too close because I'm going on vacation this coming week to Atlanta. And so All Out was a little too close for my pockets to make that move. But whatever the next one is after that, I'm seriously going to consider going, particularly, you know, when you have the StarCast component and everything, and it feels like the WrestleMania weekend vibe, but an even more insulated version of that,
mm-hmm.
where these are like the truest of the true believers that are going to these things.
I will say that the one thing Andreas and I picked up on in the crowd was this was not your traditional wrestling crowd in the sense of there were no, very few people carrying their belts around, and there are definitely people who had, which I thought was pretty useful, was carrying their money in the bank briefcase, and they would actually put their stuff inside there. but outside of that, if you go to a WWE show at the moment, it's mm-hmm. all dudes with like multiple belts and. I don't understand it, but yeah, that was not the crowd. That was that.
Did you see more people of color and more women in the audience than your typical WWE show? It might be kind of hard because WWE, they do have a lot of families that go to the shows.
So maybe I would say not a lot of families at this show. It was as white as you would imagine. But not uncomfortable white, if that makes any sense.
Okay. It was a soft shade of white.
It was not even a beige. It was an off-white.
Off-white, eggshell white.
Eggshell white, yeah. I mean, there were enough pockets of minorities that, you know, you didn't feel totally in the dark. But okay. at the same time, yeah, the wrestling audience in general is white males.
Very white.
Yeah.
Older white males.
Older white males.
So, I mean, who knows? Maybe AEW can broaden the tent. Because the actual roster is pretty diverse. When you looked at, you know, the Japanese women on the show. Somebody like a Sunny Kiss, like we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that they offer something for everybody. So even if you don't like a particular match or a particular team, like the Smash Brothers showing up, there's something for you on the show.
Yeah.
So I think that the variety is something that'll keep it interesting, which is something we don't really get from the WWE right now.
Yeah. I don't know what we're getting from WWE right now. It's a bit of a mess.
We're getting Boombox Brock.
That's still happening. I haven't watched Raw in a few weeks.
And the Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah, they just need to go ahead and have them wrestle at this point.
Hey, let the man enjoy his Father's Day, Marcus Vandenberg. Yeah. So I think we're going to call it quits here, quit while we're ahead, before Skype starts acting up again.
Yes.
For whether it's Skype or the government trying to shut down our freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
So, Marcus, let the people know where they can find you on social media. Shout out to people again, the 123 Pens.
Yes.
And, you know, let the folks know where they can find them at.
You can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill. And if you're into pin collecting, or they even had some stickers, I believe, and some other, like, they have a keychain here, like a Naito.
Okay.
Keychain. So they are at 123 Pens on Instagram and Twitter, and 123pens.us.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I am on Twitter at @8 MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. You can find me talking about wrestling and politics and promoting shows like the latest edition of the Rocky Maivia Picture Show, featuring friend of the program, Brian Mann, where we discuss Southland Tales this weekend.
How is Brian?
Brian's good. Brian's good, and I'll share the rest with you off the air.
Okay.
I don't want to get nobody in trouble.
Okay.
So you can check me out at @8 MOZAIK. Check out the show on Twitter, KOS_POD. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio Podcast, and wherever you get your podcast from, 9 times out of 10, we will be there. So subscribe, rate, and review the show. And most importantly, if you like what Marcus and I do, share the show with your friends. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. We'll be back sometime next week.
After the draft.
Yeah, after the draft. That's good, because I'll be getting back. I'll be back from Atlanta by then.
When are you back?
I'll be back on Sunday, next Sunday.
Okay.
So I'm heading out Tuesday, and I'll be back next Sunday. So
you can have your cookout.
Yes.
Keep that. I wasn't a fan of the cookout. I didn't eat the varsity yet. So.
I was going to say, I might have to get me a varsity burger.
No varsity. H&F, if you want to go there, get a burger.
I'll see if the arena's open and get a haircut.
Yeah.
Go see if Killer Mike is there.
I wonder what they do in the off season. I'm assuming the shop is closed, but like if there's a concert, like if Raw comes to town, can you get a haircut? Like, or is it just NBA games?
I'll say you should. Yeah, if it's a big event like a Raw or a concert, I'd open just because you can make a little bit of money.
Yeah.
So why not? So we'll be back next week with our thoughts on the draft and the continuing moves and maneuvers being made in the NBA. Again, shout out to the Toronto Raptors on a championship.
By the way, Nate, here you go. What are you doing Thursday night, Nate?
Thursday night, I might have a workshop, but I might be free that night.
The Hawks are doing a draft party, a free draft party at State Farm.
Oh.
7 p.m.
Okay, I'll have to pencil that in.
So if you want to go see the arena, this is your best shot. Let me send this to you.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out, because I'm not sure what days my workshops are down there. But I might have Thursday night free.
Yeah, it could be a fun little night.
Yeah, I got my MARTA card filled up. So.
Oh, man, you're...
I'm ready to roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I wasn't trying to drive in Atlanta traffic. I'm like, hey, the hotel is right next to the stadium, and it's everything's MARTA adjacent, so.
Which stadium?
The Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, okay, so you're down. Oh, you're right across the street from the arena, then.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, I'm not, it makes no sense to take my car down there.
No, and if you can also see the...
And this way I can also
Atlanta
drink.
Dream. So. You can also drink, yes.
But yeah, the Dream are in,
are in town.
Yeah, this. I'll have to come back with a. this will be the opportunity I get to come back with some road stories.
Yes.
So, yeah, who knows what I'll get into down in Atlanta. But whatever I get into, we'll talk about it next time on the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And I leave you with the words of the only father song that we got. So take what you can get. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was alone. They really need to come up with a better father song, Marcus. It's like it's either Papa's a Rolling Stone or the Black Men United, You Will Know. Like, those are the only two father songs I can think of.
What does that say about fathers?
Yeah. And, like, mother's got songs mother, for days.
Yeah. Dear Mama, there's a bunch of songs, yeah. All right.
So, yeah, happy Father's Day, because you've been down with the Kings. Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to leave it all on the mat, because that's what I do when I get it done, so I can do it. Yeah!